and OT's an on-time yarn.
Yes, he is. The children of Israel trapped at the Red Sea. By that mean old Pharaoh and his army, they had water all around them. Pharaoh on their tracks. Oh, but out of nowhere, God stepped in and cut a highway just like that. The 5,000 hungry souls he fed on the banks of the river with two fish and five loaves of bread. What a miracle he performed for the multitude. Oh, and what he did way back then, he'll do the same for me and you.
Praise the Lord. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Oh, let's give him a real good hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Let me read you a couple of testimonies real quick just to show you what kind of an on-time God we serve.
Amen.
You know what? We think we have to help him. We think we have to speed him up. We think we have to hurry him. Patience is a virtue that I lack. I'll be honest with you. I know I'm the only one in here that's that way. But I do lack patience. But I'm going to tell you something. How many of you know that he is an on-time God? How many of you have witnessed that he is on time every time? He may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there right on time. Somebody say praise the Lord. This testimony, Sister Patty Little sends this in. Brother Donnie and the saints of God prayed for my son last Sunday. God performed a miracle for him. I praise and thank the Lord Jesus. Pray for a complete deliverance for him. Thank you for your prayers. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let me read you one more real quick. This is from Brother Fred right here on the front row this morning. I've been fighting pain in my right shoulder and arm for about 6 months. I've just been asking God, what was wrong with me and what must I do to get my healing? When I took the wine last night, the pain left immediately, and now I am pain-free and have good movement. Thanks be to the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. You better sing that verse for me here. Help, let's help this little guy right over here as he sings this verse for us this morning.
First, am I singing?
Yeah, well, it don't matter. They're both good. Amen.
You can ask the children of Israel.
Sing it.
Trapped at the Red Sea by that mean old Pharaoh.
Oh, I said he's an on-time God.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
I know he is. Well, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there.
Let's just go ahead and give him a good hand clap. He's worthy of all the praise we'll ever give him. He's worthy of all the honor you'll ever give to him. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests this morning. Brother Randall Gibson, down there if you get ready to pray over these needs this morning. The Lord would just be mindful of all these situations. I want to pray for Brother Greg Robbins, who is having back problems today. Let's remember him in prayer. Wanda Bargo's son is in a lot of pain. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request today. Brother Kevin Keith sends this in. My dad, John Keith, had the heart surgery robotically and was a very, very successful operation. He gets to go home tomorrow. Somebody say praise the Lord. The Sackers say please go right ahead. It's okay. Praise the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Jesse Sacker, who was sick all night last night. So let's pray for his recovery, that the Lord will just be mindful of him. Sister Brenda Harmon says that they'll be leaving next Saturday for Texas. And they ask us to pray for traveling mercies, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. I want to pray for Brother Howard, Sister Yvette Collins, both sick from virus symptoms. Also, their grandson, Salyer, is sick and in need of prayer. So we want to remember that need today. This was sent over to the library from Leslie. Dear Saints, an urgent situation has occurred at work. Please pray with me that God will grant a safe resolution to the matter. Thank you, and may God bless. So let's remember that. Sister Bambi Lawson sends this in to please remember Ron Yassi in prayer. He attends my dad's church in Logan, Ohio. He is under hospice care for late stage cancer. So we want to remember that need this morning, that the Lord would just be mindful of that situation. All of you that have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we just commit all these things unto the Lord. Could we stand together this morning? Brother Randy, God bless you as you come to take us to the Lord in prayer today. Appreciate Brother Randy Gisendetter, don't we? God bless you, my buddy.
We truly are a blessed people. Let's bow together. Gracious Father, what a privilege it is to be in your house this morning, Lord. Together with people of like precious faith, Lord. There's just nothing like it, Lord. To hear your word the way that we hear it here, Lord, it's truly amazing, Lord. Our hearts are full this morning, Lord. The service you gave us last night, Lord, the time together, Lord, to remember your death, Lord. It's such a special time, Lord. We just thank you for it, Lord. Here we are this morning, Lord, need once again, Lord, to hear from you, Lord, to bring these needs before you, Lord, that have been spoken by Brother Louis, Lord. I know you're mindful of each and every one, Lord. every hand that was raised, Lord, there's a need there. And I know you're mindful of each one of those as well, Lord. Would you just meet with us this morning, Lord? Touch every heart in divine presence, Lord. Meet every need, Lord. Bless every song that's sung, Lord. Touch every person, Lord. Anoint your manservant in a special way, Lord. Speak once again to your people, Lord. May we receive strength for the journey. We ask all these favors and blessings in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Randy. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us today, and we do have several visitors that stayed over from the youth banquet, different things. So we're glad to have all of you folks here with us today in this service. All those that would be streaming the service, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Could we say it all together? God bless our streamers. God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand if you would this morning. Praise the Lord. And certainly happy to see Brother Jim Maxwell back in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. I understand Brother Jim is doing really well and here in the service last night. And we just appreciate the Maxwell family, don't we? Well, we just appreciate all of you. Why don't you shake hands with somebody? If you can't think of nothing nice to say to them, just say, I appreciate you. And I'm working on loving you. Praise the Lord. Just to meet your a brand new friend for the first time. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is such a vast congregation and different walks of life, different attitudes, different just a lot of difference, but we still love each other, don't we? And sometimes we really tolerate each other, don't we? Oh, you're laughing, but you know it's the truth. Now we do. But we love God, and that's the main thing, and I believe He loves us. I believe with all of my heart He cares about us. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be plastered on it. I believe that. I believe He loves you that much. Do you believe that you're in love with the greatest thing that's ever got a hold of you? The Lord Jesus Christ. Could you give Him one more hand clap of praise this morning? Let's sing this old song. We love to help Brother Harry sing the verses, and we try to feature him once in a while, and he really likes it. So let's just help him sing this morning. I believe he's coming back just like you said. You appreciate that guy over there. Praise the Lord. All these guys on the platform, God bless them. God bless every one of them. Let's sing about it.
High upon a mountain, from where He ascended,
oh, yes, Lord.
The angel of the Lord declared that it would be. He said, don't you stand here grieving, 'cause this one that you see leaving in like manner's coming back.
Hallelujah.
Just like He
I want you to sing with all your heart. I believe He's coming back like He said. I believe the trumpet's gonna sound so loud. It'll resurrect the dead.
In the twinkling of an eye, He's gonna split. Soon see His appearing. Oh, this could be the hour. I wish this would be the day. the bride from every nation starts to lose gravitation. In the middle of the air, we'll be caught away.
And I believe he's coming back like he said. I believe the trumpet's gonna sound so loud. It's gonna resurrect all my
Sister Cindy, Sister Anna, if you come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing. Brother Brandon Green in the house, if he's here, he needs to come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing after our sisters sing this morning. If he's in the house, would you come on, Brother Brandon? But let's sing this song this morning. I'm so glad that we've crossed over the line. Aren't you glad you've crossed over that old line? Are you glad you're in light instead of darkness? Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. And I'm so glad I crossed over it. Yes, now I'm so glad I crossed over the line. So glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Give our singers a nice hand as you're seated this morning.
It was such a lovely day. The sun was shining bright. The gentle wind was blowing my way. Not a storm cloud in sight. Then suddenly, without warning, storms surrounded my life. But even in the storm, I could feel the calm. There's never been another man with the power of this friend. By simply saying, "Peace, be still," he can calm the strongest wind.
Peace speaker. This world is not what it was meant to be. All this pain and all this suffering, there's a better place waiting for me in heaven. Every tear will be wiped away, every sorrow and sin erased. We'll dance on seas of amazing grace in heaven. In heaven, we're going home where the streets are golden, every chain is broken. Oh, we want to go. Oh, we want to go home, where every fear is gone. We're in your open arms, where we belong. We're going home. Lay down our burdens, we lay down our past. We run to Jesus, there's no turning back. Thank God Almighty, we'll be free at last. In heaven, in heaven. 'Cause we're going home, where the streets are golden, every chain will be broken. Oh, we want to go. Oh, we want to go home, where every fear is gone. We're in His open arms, where we belong. Hallelujah. The blinded eyes, they will finally see. The dead will rise on the shores of eternity. The trump will sound, the angels will sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going home, where the streets are golden, every chain is broken. Oh, we want to go. Lord, we want to go home, where every fear is gone. We're in His open arms, where we belong. We're going home. We're going home, where the streets are golden, every chain is broken. Oh, we want to go. Lord, we want to go home, where every fear is gone. We're in your open arms, where we belong. Where we belong. We're going home.
The Lord. I'm so glad we have a home to go to.
Amen.
Amen. It must be a terrible thing to be in a world that we live in and so much darkness around everywhere, and you can feel at home in this darkness. You actually like it. You don't feel uncomfortable at all. Yeah, it's your pleasures, it's your desires. Wouldn't that be a terrible feeling? To feel at home in darkness, to be able to live in darkness. But we are from a different world, and we've been illuminated by lights, so we don't feel at home at all in this world anymore. I'm longing myself, I'm sure you are if you're born again, for the day when the Lord Jesus will say, no more, no more. My bride, it's not a fit place for her to live another day. It's time to come home. Praise the Lord. Let's turn today, if you would, to the Song of Solomon again. I'd like to speak to you again today on the wedding night. Until we do get to go home, we're going to just enjoy going that way. Amen. Enjoy being married to the King and Amen. Do His bidding, be what He wants us to be. Be fruitful. be exactly what the Lord has ordained for our lives. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 11. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. And the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, of spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphire with spikenard. Let's bow our heads. How many like to be remembered today as we go before the Lord? God bless you. Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne today, we come with thanksgiving and gratefulness in our hearts, Lord Jesus, to realize it is your mercy that has been extended to us, that we live in this dark, sinful, chaotic world. And Lord Jesus, you have touched us and helped us to where that we don't feel at home in this place. It's because we're born from above. Our life, our motives, our objectives, everything about us is from that of the world. And we thank you for that, Lord. But as long as we are here in this world, we desire to be able to shine where you've put us. We want to be able to grow where you plant us. We want to illuminate the little portion of our world that you've caused us to shine. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us today from your word, and may we be benefited by our gathering together. We know if there be anything of eternal value that will be accomplished if we serve this service here today, it'll have to be you that does it. How could we as mortals ever be able to bring something of eternal value? But Lord, somehow or another, you take man and you use man to be able to preach your word and sing and play music and all that for the glory of God. For that we're thankful. Speak to us today, Lord. I commit myself to you, my spirit, my mind, everything about me, the gift that you put in me, Lord. Help me that I can step aside, that you can be able to speak to your children. Words of encouragement, correction, direction, whatever they need in their hearts. All these requests that was made known by the signifying of a hand. I pray that you'd help them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. He wants to create around her an atmosphere of surrender. Surrender is truly a wonderful thing. To be able to surrender to the Lord, to be able to give him our all, it's a great, great thing. You may be so poor today that you had to borrow a car to come to church. Maybe you won't be able to sit down and buy yourself or your wife or your family a nice lunch after church. You may have to go through a drive-thru. But yet, if God has given you the ability to understand his word and his will, and the ability to surrender to what he's made known to you, you are a rich person. Amen. To know God is one thing, to know of him, to know of his word, but to be able to surrender to him, you're talking about a possession. We know that people surrender in degrees. Samson could give God so much of himself. He could give God his strength. He could give God his build and all that about the man part. But he never could totally give God his heart. Delilah wound up with that. And we know that for many people, they never learn how to surrender the power. Because somehow Satan blinds people in the sense of them thinking the more they give up, the more vulnerable they are. So they keep things back about themselves, their pride, their arrogance, their selfishness, their makeup, whatever more, in order to protect themselves. And they are. They truly are. They are protecting themselves from becoming a complete surrendered Christian that God wants them to be. Now, are they not a Christian? I'm not saying they're not a Christian, but I'll say they're not a complete surrender Christian like God wants them to be. And we know that we'll never become completely fruitful until the Spirit of God can be able to take our lives, because He takes out of us the things which hinder us. Many times it's our makeup, it's strains that runs in our family, it's things that we've inherited, it may be scars that were put there by people, by parents, whatever more, and God wants to help us. But many people would rather glory in all of those things. They would rather be able to tell people over and over again, this person has offended me and that person has offended me. I've been so, you don't know what I've been through. I've been through this and that and the other. Instead of surrendering all of that and asking God to help them. Remember, you've only got so much room in your garden, okay? You've only got so much room in your mind, in your intellect. I realize as human beings that we use a very, very small portion of our brain, of our intelligence. I've learned many years ago to be able to categorize things in my mind, and that's why I can remember things that happened 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, because at the time, whenever I was young learning things, I learned that there was an ability about me that I would be able to categorize things that I wanted to remember. So it's like I would file them in a certain part of my memory. I hope that don't make you think strange of me. But many people that I meet around the world, a lot of them, I couldn't tell you their name a bit more than nothing, because I file that in that part of my memory that I know more than likely I won't need them again till the marriage supper, and then I'll know all things anyhow. So what I do file to those things which are I will need as recall are scripture and message and things like that. And then I put it in that short-term ability of mine to where I can feed on it when I'm back there studying, and I constantly feed on what I'm going to preach. That way I give the Holy Ghost all this material to be able to work on. Amen. Now, by that, I realize I've only got so much capacity, and so have you. You've only got so much garden room by which you're able to grow all kinds of things. So you can fill your garden with the good things of God, or you can have a mixture of some good things of God. You can have a little bit of resentment, a little bit of stubbornness, a little bit of temper, a little bit of this and that and the other. And in your garden of your humanity, you'll produce this mixed crop of all types of things. Why in the world would you ever want to do that when you could turn most of that garden spot into something that is fruitful for the Lord? But remember now, God will not make you do it. This is part of where your free moral agency will kick in and must grow. Remember when the Lord had no prophecy spoken to Brother Branham in 1961 in that cafeteria in Los Angeles, and he said that you have chosen the harder way, and it is my way. Now, he said, I could see that because Moses had his choice. Now, you know, it's amazing to me that in that God aligned this choice that Brother Branham had made, that it was with God's choice. Now, here is exactly where you and I can stand, in that God has His will for our lives and His choice of what He wants us to be. But we must also choose in the same direction. Many people do, and some people do not. They do not choose God's way, so they choose a lesser way, a way of compromise, and they never actually become the fulfillment of everything that God wanted or intended for them to be. How many believes that today? There's much more joy for each of us, I'm assured of, than what most of us probably have. Much more happiness, much more peace. I ain't talking about Cadillacs and BMWs and all that sort of thing. I'm talking about the spiritual bounty of God, in so much that Brother Branham would say it several times in the message, that there are untapped resources that we have never broke into. Well, who are they stored up for? The angels? You think they're stored up for cherubims and seraphims and zoons? Absolutely not. They are for us as human beings. I don't know about you. I'd like to have all that's got my name on it. Now, will I have to fight for it? More than likely I will. But to me, it's worth fighting for. Now, whenever then we look at what Solomon likened this Shulamite woman to, that more than likely most of the people who saw her and knew her, they did not have the ability to see in her what he saw. Because love has a way of declaring something that another person that only likes cannot see. Love has its own vision. Love has its own
ability to manifest itself and declare what people that's not in love cannot simply just cannot understand. Now, for those of us today who truly love the Lord Jesus, and for us to try to explain to others how we feel about Him, we find ourselves at a loss of words. Now, others that feel in a similar way the way you do, it's like you can relate, and even though your speech is not eloquent maybe enough to declare it, but you just know by the same love that they have. Others that would like the Lord Jesus. Now, there's a lot of folks that like Jesus. They really do like Him. They have nothing against Him. They really don't love Him per se in the sense of a soul love, and they'll never be able to connect with Him because they are not His soul mate. They were not a soul of God that was in God, but they are people who love Him and they don't want to go to hell. They don't want to be lost. So you know what? They hang around church and they live a pretty good life. And many of them will show up at the white throne judgment and be judged for what they knew and the way they reacted according to the knowledge that God gave them. But then there's other people. You take Jesus away from them and they would, as Brother Branham said, without Him being in my life, he said, if He wasn't in my life, I would just mope around and I would groan. And I would be so sad and I would be so lonely that I wouldn't know what to do. Now, there are people alive in this world today that do not relate to that type of feeling. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but there may be people sitting here today in this church that if you were to lose the experience that you have with God, that you would find a compatible, so to speak, life out here in the world, that you wouldn't quite be the same. You would not quite be as happy as you were. But you would learn how to deal with being a sinner. Because losing what you have with God would not be that great of a paramount loss in your life. Now, you're not going to be able to understand me at all today because I'm not that type of person. I did not come to God because I was dying with cancer and the doctors gave me up and I had no hope. I did not come to God because my life was absolutely, you know, the mafia was after me and, you know, I run to God in the time of trouble. I came to God because there was something drawing me. I was a young boy, and let me tell you something, I have never regretted. If I live in a few days, I'll be 61 years old. I have never regretted for one moment giving my entire life to Jesus Christ. I gave Him my years as a teenager. I got saved when I was 12. I gave Him my years as a teenager. I gave Him my years of my 20s. I gave Him and yielded to Him at the age of 18 years old to start preaching and went full time in the ministry at about 20 to 20 and a half, something like that. I've given 40 years of my life to preaching His truth. Do I regret it? By no means whatsoever. Oh, but Brother Donnie, you missed so much fun. I don't say how in the world you figure that. I have had so much joy. I have had so much peace. Oh, but you've never been drunk. Don't tell me I ain't been drunk. I've been drunk nearly every day of my life since I got the Holy Ghost. But you've never been able to taste any of this out of here. How do you know what it's like? Because I seen my daddy come home drunk on Kentucky moonshine. I seen my daddy come home drunk on whiskey and beer. I've dealt with many others that's been the same way. I've dealt with drug addicts and junkies. I've dealt with them and see them shaking and trembling. Could not wait for their next hit. And you want me to trade my Jesus for that? No way. No way. I don't lay down at night and wonder where my hit's going to come from tomorrow. Oh my. I don't have to worry about me selling my body to find something to satisfy a craving within me, because I have that peace and satisfaction from the presence of God. And many of you have exactly the same thing. But, you know, in saying that, with our experience with God, then there is also the other element of us becoming this garden which flourishes in the presence of the King. Whenever Solomon now looks at his wife and he brings all these parallels from the natural world, from botany life, from the animal kingdom, and he wants her to be able to be relaxed to see what he sees in her. No doubt she must have marveled as she heard his eloquent speech and words, but but yet through the act of condescension that she would be able to relate to it. Speaking of goats and sheep and all that sort of thing that she was very, very common with. And now he's able to relate to her a degree by which he sees these things. In his eyes, the depth of what he's going to describe is there. More than likely, she never saw this in herself. As more than likely, we will not see it in ourselves to the degree that our Lord Jesus sees. I do believe there will be a partial enlightenment of his own vision in the eyes of the bride before the bride can ever go away. Because there is something about the reciprocating part in the bride that longs for the coming of the King. And he gives us that ability to be able to see who we are more clearly. You understand? Now he compares her virtues and accomplishments by the Spirit of God to the different plants and the trees that's inside of her as if she were a garden. Now he does not say that she's the normal types of plants that would have been around Jerusalem or in the country of Judea. But he goes beyond and surpasses to what she would have been in some one sense of the word common with. So he mixes the normal with the exotic. He mentions in the normal, everyday, average stuff that she would have known, which would have been pomegranates and milk and honey. But in that, he also merges together things that she might have heard of, possibly, but more than likely had never seen. Because some of the things he's going to describe about her were things that only rich people would be able to have. Now remember, she was not a rich person. She was just a poor shepherdess girl, so she would have never known many of these things. Now notice how it parallels you and I. So he's going to attribute to her things that she would have more than likely never even known existed in the world. And if she had, it would have just been common talk in the market. And people who would have sold some of these things, the spikenard, the campfire, and some of these things, there's no way she would have even been able to got near it. It would have been so expensive that they would have had guards around the booths and where they would have sold them. For a pound of spikenard or myrrh, frankincense, it was very, very costly. Some of these things come from India. They come from different parts of the world, and they would have actually come on the camel train. So only the very rich people would have been able to have it. It was the same way with some of the plants now that he's going to define about her. It would have been something that would have not been common. So, you know, here is the mixture of her life, and she is the accumulation of the natural, the everyday, the pomegranate, the milk, the honey, but also merged in her is the exotic. And the part which would seem so far-fetched beyond her own mind, you mean I am compared to that? How can that be? That is such an expensive type of stuff, and yet you're saying that's what I am? Now, I could relate to being a Kentuckian. I could relate to being a hillbilly, if you wish to call me that. I can relate to being a mortal, a person that falls short of the glory of God. All of that I can relate to. But to be able to relate to being in his mind before the foundation of the world, relate to being virtuous, sinless, pure, married to the Son of God, never sinned in the first place. So what have I now become? I have now become a garden that is mixed with the common average every day, but also now mixed with divine exotic traits, which can only come from deity itself. Oh man, notice he tells her, thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates. Now these, of course, was something that was common among Jerusalem, Judea, Bethpage, all the different things there. So they are pleasant plants. They are plants, of course, which one she would have seen, no doubt, herself in the place where she was from. Now the pomegranate had a spiritual symbol as well. Pomegranate, depending on which kind that you get, several different varieties. But the type of variety that would have been very common there, it had two colors that was on the inside. On the inside of the seed pod was a crown. On the inside, going around the center part, was a crown, and then the flesh or the meat on the inside of the pomegranate was two colors. So here's the very symbol of Lebanon again, of the mixing of the two colors, and the colors were red and white. So you break open the pomegranate, that was the red and the white co-joined together by the crown in the center of the pomegranate itself. So whenever you delicately cut it open and you slice it half in two, you would see here was white, here was red, and here was the crown of seeds on the inside. Now he tells her that you are like an orchard. Now you're not just one. You're not just a little bush that's straggling along and barely hanging on to Christianity. But you actually have an entire orchard of pomegranates. Oh, praise God. You are an orchard of pomegranate. Now notice the spiritual use of the pomegranate on the priest's garment in Exodus 28:33. And beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof. Now this is the garment of the priest. Now the priest is going into the presence of God to administer according to the sacrifice or the mishnah, whatever he was going to offer before the Lord. So this fruit of the land of Canaan was actually going to be merged into the garments of the priest himself. So the priest is now wearing the fruit of the land, amen, that they're moving into the land of Canaan. So he is wearing this fruit. Lord, children, can't you see that believing the real word of God is more than having long hair, sisters? It's more, brothers, than us cutting our hair. It's more than just the color of clothes that we wear and the length of clothes that we wear. That God wants the fruit of Canaan to be the way we talk. He wants it to be our language. He wants it to be the way we live. Not something that we put on Sunday morning and then we lay our religion aside and live like the devil the rest of the week. But he wants it to be our everyday walk, our talk. It is our language. It is our mannerism. It's who we are. Now, they're going to make a pomegranate of blue, and then they're going to have one of purple, and then they're going to have one of scarlet. Now, they're going to rotate. It's going to be in threes, and it's going to go around the bottom of the hem of the garment, round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold. Now, notice the bells of gold. So the pomegranate actually fits in with the gold. So here you've got the pomegranate, humanity, and you've got the bells of gold, the deity, and you've got human and divine mixed together on what? The priest of the garment of the priest. And here it's the same way with you and I. When we are truly born again into the Spirit of God, what do we have? Now look, we've got the divine, we've got the human, we've got the divine, we've got the human, we've got the divine, and we've got the coloration, and God chose you to be left that way until you are changed. Notice this in verse 34. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe. So now let's get it in our mind now. You look at the bottom of the robe of the garment of the high priest, and there would be a blue and a purple and a scarlet pomegranate, and there will be a gold. So let's start out like this. There will be a blue, and then there will be a gold, then there will be a purple, then there will be a gold, then there will be a scarlet, then there will be a gold, and then you keep going right on around until they meet on the other side. And what if you got reflected the very articles of God upon the man who's worshiping God? Oh, may Christianity be more than just going to church. May Christianity be more than dropping your tithes in the envelope and say, well, I've done my religion for the week. No, you don't never stop your religion if you're saved. You don't get done with it, brother. Now, Canaan was actually called a land of pomegranates. Notice Numbers 13:23. And they came into the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between the two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Deuteronomy 8:7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, of depths. Oh my. So we're not just shallow pond puddlers, but we've got some depths every now and then. And depths that spring out of valleys and hills. Now this is describing their land. Remember, this is a spiritual parallel to what you have in Christ Jesus. So you've got valleys, you've got hills, you've got mountains, but you've got water, you've got pomegranates. Amen. Amen. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee unto a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. Friend, this is our land. Our land is the message of the hour. After we're baptized in the Holy Ghost, this is our land. We have been brought to a good land. It's not a denominational dried up system where we have to warm up the same stuff over and over and over again and preach basically the same thing, just give it a new title. We've got valleys and hills and depths and shallows and pomegranates and figs and grapes. Oh, glory. Notice in verse 8, a land of wheat and barley and and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of oil, olive, and honey. We're going to church today? I reckon. I thought about just going to Roan Mountain and just skipping out on church, but the deacons will probably call us if we don't go. I guess we can go ahead and go. We'll just be laid at Roan Mountain State Park 3 hours after church. I probably won't get nothing. You probably won't. And that's your fault. I make it my responsibility to make sure that no one leaves this church when I'm preaching with the excuse of saying there's nothing to eat. Now, I may blow some of you wide open by feeding you so much that that's your problem of not having proper manners. But ain't nobody going to tell the truth and say there ain't nothing to eat at Happy Valley. If you say that, you're lying between your teeth. Because we have a message that has honey. Our message has pomegranate. Our message has barley. Our message has wheat. Our message has depths. Our message has sincerity. Everything we need is in this word. But now whether or not you eat, that's entirely up to you. Praise the Lord. Notice Solomon Christ in the parallel looks at her and says, You're like an orchard of pomegranates. Now, this is not normal. Not the way pomegranate trees would grow. You see, the way they grow, they must have a certain type of soil, being acidic. And they would come out of the outcroppings of rocks. So to take and plate them out in a, you know, some big flat field over in Irwin like them farmers use over there, no, that ain't going to work. They seem to grow out of places to where other trees can't make it. Glory! Hallelujah! It ain't just one little tree that's just barely hanging on. But he looks at her and says, my darling, my dear, you're not just one pomegranate tree and you barely make it from Sunday to Wednesday. But you're a whole orchard full of them. It seems like you grow out of adversity. It seems like the more the devil hits you, the stronger you are. The more difficulty comes, the more you flourish in the presence of God. You are an orchard. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates. With pleasant fruits, valuable, precious, desirable. Amen. Notice what he says. Camphor with spikenard. Now this is not camphor, C-A-M-P-H-O-R, like you're familiar with, that has a bad smell. This is henna or the cypress bloom. The spikenard was an odoriferous aromatic plant from India. Now he says, you are this mixture. You're such a mixture. You have milk and honey. You have the honeycomb. You have the pomegranate. You've got the barley. You've got the wheat. And you've got all this other rarity. Can't you see the diversity of the international bride that is wound up in this Song of Solomon? Can't you see what God was doing prophetically uttering out of this man's lips? That the bride just won't be all white. White folks ain't got no dominance on this word. Come on now. The Indian folks, the Native Americans, or the black, whatever more, he's going to make a bride up from around the world. Some from India, some from Engedi, some from here, some from there. Why? It's His choice to do so. And He loves them all the same. May I say it this morning? He don't love the white man any more than the black man. He don't love the black man any more than a white man. In the bride of Jesus Christ, we all stand on the same plane by the grace of God. Oh my, notice, and on verse 14 again, he says, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense and myrrh and aloes. Some of these trees never existed in Palestine. Unless, of course, someone transplanted them. So they were taken from the original Book of Life and transplanted over into the Jerusalem Book of Life. Now watch what he's comparing her life to. You have things in you that is not even natural to your natural birth. You shouldn't even be doing this naturally. You should not even act this way. All of your families are murderers and liars and drunks. You ought to be a drunk this morning. Some of you ought to be piled up in the bed where you've been drunk all night long and come in, didn't even know where you lived hardly. So you make no sense. You're the odd duck. You're the odd one among us. How all the rest of us Reagans do this and that and the other. All the rest of us Babs or whatever more. What's different about you? That seed that was in me found me. That seed that was in me found me. And I become transplanted. So my old life was removed from the Book of Life into the Lamb's Book of Life. I am an exotic transplant. Hallelujah. It's not natural for me to behave this way. It's not natural for you folks to love people that hate you. It's not natural for you to pray for your enemies. But you've got a transplant from another world. Spikenard and saffron. Now the nard is a generic term that is used for different types of perfumes. Nards as in plural. This one particular one that's being referred to here, I wrote this down, thought it would be a blessing to you. The nard of Opus, a town near Babylon where grew the most precious spikenard. Some of y'all didn't live in a town near Babylon. You was in it. And yet there was a seed of life in there. And God brought you out of Babylon and planted you in Jerusalem, the city of God. Amen. Notice now, once it is transported from these places, which makes it very expensive. The journey. Another type of spikenard. And remember, there's several of these different nards. Another type of spikenard is made from the flowering of a plant that grows on the slopes of the Himalayas over 13,000 feet in elevation. So as you can see, it's not something you just go down to Walmart and say, give me 13 boxes of spikenard. Most of the people of this day would have never even seen this stuff. It's so rare. And so precious. And so unusual. One out of a million almost, you'd say. So unusual that a lot of people would live their lifetime and never bump into one of these nards. Now you're not a nerd, you're a nard. You're a nard living in a world of nerds. There's only one letter difference between you and them. A, which is alpha. Hallelujah. You might have been a nerd when you was out there in the world, but he transformed you. He transforms you from just a common old Tennessean that could cuss and drink and run around and shoot dope in your vein like every other nerd. But he got a hold of you and give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he changed you from a nerd to a nard. He changed you. Hallelujah. most aromatic plant in the garden of God. So look at where all these are coming from, the Himalayas. Saffron comes from the word kokum, which is an orange-yellow flower on the crocus family, used for flavoring in drinks and confections in order to promote perspiration for the cooling of the body. Well, if ain't nobody else cool in this building today, I ought to be. Now notice he says, my darling, you have calamus, you have cinnamon, you have nard, you have all this that comes from the Himalayas, you've got this crocus. And she's saying, really? Probably some of that stuff she couldn't even spell. Don't sit there and smile at me like y'all can. Look, children, what is it? All of this, most all of this is beyond her. He mentions enough that's around her to help her acclimate to what he's fixing to overwhelm her with. It's the same with you and I. We look and say, oh God, this is too high. This word is too demanding. I can't do it. It's beyond me. Of course it is. So what do you need? You needed a rich merchant. Glory to God. A merchant that would be able to make this journey. But he went beyond the Himalayas. He went beyond India. He come from eternity down here to the body of time. And went down into hell and conquered death, hell and the grave. And he come back as a rich merchantman and said, this is what I have purchased for you, my darling. This is what I have brought. This not from the Himalayas. I brought it from the hills of glory. I brought it from my own Father's divine nature. See, most of these things that you're looking at, a tradesperson is involved in it. So it's a person who must go. Notice the mystery of redemption laying in the Song of Solomon. So it is a person who must go beyond from where they are, their normality. And they must go to a distant land and buy something. And most of these merchants did not buy it for themselves. They bought it to sell. Or in your case, to give away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The crimson saffron, crocus, produces such minute quantities of spice. Over 4,000 flowers are needed to produce an ounce of saffron. 4,000 flowers. Rare. Exotic. Unusual. Expensive. And it takes a lot to make one. Do you understand? It don't take much to make a church member. There's many of these churches around the Tri-Cities today. My, they've got way bigger crowds and we'll never compete with them. To be honest with you, I ain't trying to. I ain't trying to outdo some of these guys. I don't want to stand before God when they stand there, Brother Darren. I'm going to stand before God as being a right merchant. Amen. Come on, children. I don't want to stand up here and preach to you all that God understands why you can't live right. God understands why you can't overcome. God understands why you men can't overcome pornography. A preacher that's saying that probably has a problem with it himself. God understands why you can't live a victorious life. He sure does. He knows you need the Holy Ghost. You ever get the Holy Ghost down inside of you, it will give you power over all the powers of the enemy. Oh, you'll fight it. Yes, sir. But by the grace of God, you'll be able to win. If you want to win. Oh my. Another one of these crocus, the saffron crocus. It must be dried and then extracted from that as it is ground. Elements that are used in making medicine. And some of this medicine really helps if you've eaten something that's not good for you. And then when you take it, it kind of helps you get rid of it. That's been my lot in life. I specialize in this saffron. It's a messy job, but somebody's got to do it. Notice he tells to her in verse 14, spikenard and saffron, calamus, which is sweet cane, a precious aromatic reed bought and brought out of far countries. Now remember, they didn't have domino sugar. They did not have white sugar, brown sugar. They didn't know anything about processed sugars at all. So wherever they found sugar naturally, either in the honey or the honeycomb or certain plants, it was a great commodity. But it was a sweetness that was produced by nature, praise the Lord, instead of a manufacturing plant. Now most of us are sugar addicts. I say, all you addicts didn't say amen. All the ones that said amen don't like sugar. We fill our diet day by day with sugar. Much more than what you find in the Middle East and those people there. Well, especially in this time, there was nothing there at all. So to be able to find some of this, again, this sweetness was so rare. Because it was a sweetness produced after the original creation by God speaking His word. Let there be. So God put in this calamus, in this sweet cane. He put in the attributes that the sap of this would be a nature producing sweetness. Oh, my brother, get the Holy Ghost one time. It makes you sweeter than a 150 pound bag of sugar. It has real sweetness. It'll make you turn the other cheek. It'll make you be kind to those that are rude, but it's nature produced. Amen. Spikenard, saffron. Now he's telling her all this on the wedding night. Now I want to watch some of your wives, of you brothers that married them, and you went out and you got married and you finally got through all the picture taking and everything. You go to your motel room at the night and you're all wore out anyway, your slab wore out. And you get in there and you go to saying, my darling, you are as fragrant as spikenard. You're like calamus and sweet cane. Oh my goodness. Hello? State your emergency, please. My wife just hit me in the head with her shoe. Why? We don't relate to this. But notice what he's doing. He's not even known her yet as a wife. But he's fixing to. But he wants to bring her to the place of complete submission by her will. So he unveils. This is not metaphors that are empty. This is not adjectives which are vain. This is what he sees in her. What is happening to her, Brother Dow? He's taken the book. Lord God, he's taken the book of the Shulamite's life and he's tore the seals off the book of her life and letting her see what he sees within her. Exotics and things that she never even knew existed, but he knew they existed. He's familiar with this. He knows all of this. She does not. So he's taking the book of her life and tearing the seals off. Spikenard and saffron, calamus, cinnamon. It's this one here is Laurus cinnamonus, indigenous to the east coast of Africa, later found in the Antibes. So this plant, this product, comes from a plant in Africa? How could she be likened to something who's from so far away? Would she have ever likened herself like this? I am spikenard. I am this. Oh, there's a few folks around church who do that.
They're the greatest singer. They're the greatest preacher. They're the greatest know-it-all. You know, I've done a lot of searching. I realize I'm not the smartest duck, but I have done a lot of searching, and I've never found in any of the offices where Brother Branham laid out for the Branham Tabernacle that there's one office for the know-it-all. I found deacons, I found trustees, I found associate pastors and song leaders and Sunday school teachers, and I ain't never found that office, yet there's so many folks around the message that think that office ought to be in there, and they ought to fulfill it. But you show me where it's in there, and I'll certainly give you the job. The inner bark is peeled off and rolled together in a form or a scroll. So they go to this tree and they take a sharp instrument and they begin to roll it off and roll it up into a scroll. And the mystery of the aroma and the flavor lays in the scroll. Can you imagine this poor girl? She's sitting here. She's trying her best to understand and comprehend. I'm not cassia. I'm not spikenard. I'm not crocus. I'm not cinnamon. I've never even heard of some of those things. Are you sure you've got the right girl? Are you sure you married the right person? Well, Solomon can say, I'm very sure. I know you're the right one because I knew you before the world began. And actually, I slipped that wedding band of predestinated unmerited grace on your finger before the foundation of the world. Notice he says spikenard and saffron and calamus and cinnamon was all trees of frankincense and myrrh and aloes was all chief spices. Myrrh and aloes, a plant native to an island near the Red Sea whose partially decayed wood gives off this fragrance. Praise God. Once again, this isn't the speech of a shepherd boy. This ain't a shepherd boy talking to his wife. This is a king. Let me tell you something, friend. When preachers are standing up here, wherever you go to church, and they're anointed of the Spirit of God, and you hear something beyond that man's understanding, you know it ain't that shepherd talking. It's the king. Amen. I hope you can comprehend and understand that God in this day took a prophet in his hands and was able to speak things which had been kept secret since the foundation of the world. We do not worship that prophet, no worship his voice. It was the Spirit of God who used him. And may I say, the same Holy Ghost, according to question answer 64, that same Logos, that same pillar of fire, is anointing sons of God today to speak the words of God. But it's not the shepherd, it's not the evangelist, it's not the teacher, it's the king himself. What's he trying to do? Raise your value in your own eyes. He's giving you a spiritual appraisal this morning. Oh my, Solomon, looking at her, she's all this wrapped up in one little bundle. Now the description is highly poetical, I understand. Full of symbols, full of things that the natural mind you can see would never be able to fully comprehend. But the graces that are in the individual are likened to all these parallels of what Solomon said. Verse 15, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Now she speaks. there is a breach between verse 15 and verse 16. Moment of silence, 2 minutes, 30, half hour, who knows how long it was. But there was a breach between verse 15 and verse 16. He's went to the exotic places of the world, carried her with him in the sense of drama. Her value has been lifted up in his eyes, and the mystery of her life has been unveiled. She has now caught the vision. Now she answers in the first person. And she says, "Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south." What a peculiar thing for a bride to say in response to her husband's remarks. Now, this is the wedding night. Man, this is some kind of deep conversation, ain't it? We're talking about flowers and trees and plants, and now we're going into the wind. What kind of marriage is this? Supernatural. So instead of her saying, "Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, I don't deserve all of that, but I know it's all true about me because I'm such a great person, I'm so wonderful," instead of responding to him, she beckons for help. If these things are there, and you say they are, then I need help from a source other than myself. So she says, "Awake, O north wind." Now this is the bride now. This is her response. "Awake, O north wind." So she calls for the north wind. The word "awake" in the Hebrew is to arouse. The wind is a symbol of storms. It's also a symbol of life and quickening. 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 So notice now what she wants. She doesn't want the wind to blow on him. She wants it to blow on her first, then blow toward him. Glory to God. She's not beckoning Brother Terry the wind to come and blow his fragrance toward her, but she's calling on the Spirit. "I need divine help, God. This is what he said about me. How can I ever comprehend it? How can I believe it, Lord? My flesh gets in my way. My weaknesses, my humanity gets in my way. Oh, wind of God. Oh, Holy Ghost of God, come and manifest these things out of my life." Notice in Ezekiel 37, 8, "When I beheld, and lo, the sinews and flesh came upon them, and skin covered them from above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from before winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet as an exceeding great army." So she says, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, and blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his blessed fruits." You see, after the book of her life was taken and her mystery was revealed and the scales come off of her eyes, she was able to identify herself with what he called her. Amen. Notice she's not the one who said she had the garden first. It was him. Now she's saying what the Spirit's saying. Glory to God. And she's actually got bold enough and brave enough to call it hers. Amen.
I'm ungodly, I'm awful, I'm terrible, I'm wretched, I'm this and that and the other. You might have been that. But if you're saved by the grace of God and filled with the Holy Ghost, my brother, God has given you a garden, my sister, and He wants you to call it yours. Notice in Job 37:22, fair weather cometh out of the north. With God is terrible majesty. Proverbs 25:23, the north wind driveth away rain, as doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Then the warm south wind. Now notice she calls for the north, and then she beckons the south. Again, Job 37:17, how thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind. So the Holy Ghost comes and blows away all doubts. He blows away all the fears and the unbelief. Then he swirls around in the garden and creates a slight turbulence. And he switches to the other direction from the south. And he begins to create the warmness in your heart, to where your heart can be warm and fertile to the response of the Spirit of God. Notice in 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the north wind comes, the south wind merges together, the clouds begin to dissipate. And what do we see? We don't see a church. We don't see our favorite preacher. We see Jesus. I realize, friends, most of us have our preference of which wind we like. If most of us could lay out our own course, it would be the soothing, calming winds of the gentility of Christianity. Your major storms in life would be, whoop, that was it. And then about 5 years, you go, whoop, there's another one. Oh, man, them bad storms. Whoo, boy, I'm glad that's over. Lasted all of 30 seconds. You're just sailing along. That's what some of y'all go on cruises, isn't it? That's what y'all think Christianity ought to be. A cruise where you just pile up meat, what you want to eat, and just, you know. Jesus don't have a Disney cruise to heaven. You don't believe me, ask Paul. Paul wasn't on a Disney ship. His ship went down. Praise the Lord. He promises He'll be with us, but He does not promise all things will be kept from us. Oh my. For the north and the south wind both serve their divine purpose inside a garden. Now remember, if you've got a garden wall and the turbulence moves inside the wall, I hate turbulence when I fly. Hate it. Absolutely hate it. Some of the worst flying I've ever been in my life, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. Not one cloud. Brother Alan Butcher explained to me years and years ago. I asked him about it. I said, Brother Alan, what is turbulence exactly? What's it do? You're a pilot. What's it? He said it's like waves on the ocean, Brother Donnie. That's the way the air moves up in that elevation. And it gets up to there and it's like waves. So when you come across in an airplane, you may come down and go like that. That's why it drops. And then you'll hit the tops of it. It's like hitting the waves in a boat. Mama. But what I wish was, if you could get it on an airplane and fly, say from here to Moscow in 45 minutes, all clear skies, no turbulence. Y'all want to go with me then, huh? And if we're not careful, that's the way we want Christianity. Oh, we don't mind a few trials and tests every now and then, but just don't make it major now, Lord. Don't shake me. What is wrong with this woman? She's actually beckoning the north and the south wind. You realize that mountains, those of you that don't know this, mountains have the ability of creating their own weather. Now you look on one side of the Himalayas, and then you look on the other side of the Himalayas, and you look on the other side of the Himalayas, it's nothing but barren desert. Hardly no life at all. Why? The Himalayas knock it off. On this side of the Himalayas is such beautiful, fertile valleys and all kinds of rivers and creeks and streams and so on and so on. But when the thermals rise up, because the Himalayas rise so high, they cannot hardly cross over it at all. So the mountains create their own weather, and they keep the rain on this side. And on the other side, it's dry and barren. That's what our mountaintop experiences do for us sometimes as well. Oh my, it's all lovely and green, and we go down to the other side of that and we feel so dry. Have you ever been there when God blessed you so much? And when you come out of that mountaintop, it seemed like it's immediate. It's because your mountain has created its own weather. And then when you get on the other side, you're going through all the thermals. Those of you that's been up on the mountain, you know what I'm talking about. And you feel that cool something when you walk down through a certain spot. That's a thermal. The thermal will rise up. That's what the birds use whenever they fly. You can see them soaring and they're absolutely moving. No wings at all. They're riding on thermals. But here she does not say, oh, give me just mountaintop experiences. Give me only blessings and new cars and bigger home. Let the north wind come. Let the storms come. Let the south wind come. Give me whatever I need in order to make me fruitful where my sin can arise. Prophet said this way in Invisible Union. Sometimes everything will run fine for you for years. Then all at once you'll hit a spell. Where, when we say it many times in the South here, when it rains, it pours. And everything goes wrong. You're going through a nighttime. Then there's a daybreak. Then a nighttime. Everything runs in continuity. I got to be honest with you, though, this morning. I can't wait till that cycle's broken. You understand? How many feels the same way? Of course you do. If you're honest, sure, you feel the same way I do. Watch this. Cause these spices, these fragrances, to flow out of my life. You know, when Esther had to go before the king, not only her, but every other woman, Esther chapter 2 verse 12. Now when every maid's charm was come to go to King Ahasuerus, after she had been 12 months according to the manner of women, for so were the days of purifications accomplished, to wit 6 months with oil of myrrh, 6 months with sweet odors, and other things for the purifying of the women. Now remember their diets in this time. These women were brought from all over the Persian Empire. And many of them were poor people. But they was not going out to pick them because of their social status, but because of their looks. And according to history, many of the diets of these people was very rank. And what they ate produced real foul body odors. And they would not allow her to go into the king eating that old Baptist stuff. I mean, that old... So they put these women in the charge of eunuchs. In the charge of eunuchs who had no seed. What were they doing? Getting these women ready to meet the king to see if he wanted to place his seed in them. Now they would bathe them over and over again. Can you imagine a year? Can you think in your mind the expense of getting hundreds or even thousands of these women ready for the king? These are some of the most exotic, expensive things that there was on the earth at that time. And yet to think they would run one after another, and a year's time. You said, did it take that long to purify them? No, it didn't take that long. But one of the reasons of the customs was that long was he wanted to make sure they wasn't with child. Well, praise the Lord. You see, it ain't that it takes God that long to make a mature Christian out of you. He wants to make sure you ain't expecting. He wants to make sure you still ain't carrying the devil's child in your memory or the devil's child in your imagination. So he lets you go on through trials and tests and purification and lets this eunuch wear you out and that eunuch wear you out and that one wear you out. What for? To make sure you're not with child. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. 6 months with myrrh. 6 months with frankincense. But now here comes this queen. And she says, awake, O north wind. Come thou south. Blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits.
Notice, friends, when she makes this invitation to him, the very next verse, the capping of this now, we'll pick it up again, is he says, I am come. Oh my goodness, you mean he came in an invisible union and presence, and there was no clouds and there was no angels and there was no trumpets and all that. I am come into my garden. Now we're believing that he's going to come again. We know that. But let me close with this. I believe he wants to come to us before he comes to us. I believe he wants to come to you as an individual, at your beckoning, at you asking him and inviting him, that he comes to you and says, I love this fellowship with you. I love this harmony with you. What is the rapture? It's the gathering together of those that he's already entered into their garden with already. And the rapture is gathering all these gardens together to take them to one big garden. And then you'll be a garden in a garden. And where are we coming back to? We're coming right back to spread on this earth again when the seventh day will be resumed. Remember, God had entered into his rest on the Sabbath. It was the seventh day, God's Sabbath. God made the man on the sixth day. And then God rested from his labors. It was God's Shabbat or God's millennium. Man called God out of his millennium. And it put the millennium on a hold or a pause. It's as if though the millennium was paused. God don't never pause nothing for long though. This is why we can't go into the eighth day directly. We've got to resume. What do you do when you listen to a tape? I've got a CD player down in the basement. I can stop that thing on pause and leave it there for weeks at a time. I've done it. I leave it there for weeks at a time and come back if I'm right in the middle of a sermon of Brother Branham, and I'll put that play button and it'll resume exactly where I left it. Glory to God. God hit the pause button for the millennium. And when we come on the millennium, God will hit, as it were, so you can understand it. God will hit that resume button again. And we will take off, hallelujah, we will take off right like it was in the beginning, only there'll be more of us. It won't just be one Adam and Eve, it'll be millions of Adams and Eves. Oh, don't you want to be there? More than anything else in this world, I want to be there. Praise God. Let me read you this scripture here before we offer prayer. Oh, thank you, Lord. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. You're not getting it. I have come into my garden, which is my sister, my spouse. Oh, children, if he can say that today about you. I have come into you by my presence. Let him stay there. As sad as it is, after this happens, she goes into a lapse of her walk, a lapse of her faith. I'm so glad this other part is written, because he showed the pomegranate and the gold, and the pomegranate and the gold, the human and the divine. Hardly any time after the honeymoon is over, she goes into this lapse of her faith and her walk. Why would we do such a thing, Brother Donnie? Because our old human flesh, this old enemy of yours. Listen what he says. I have gathered my myrrh and my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine, my milk. Eat, oh friends. Drink. Drink abundantly, oh beloved. She gives herself to him. He takes her, enters into this union with her. And now he's expressing what he found.
It was hers, but she gave it to him. Now it's his myrrh. Now it's his wine. Praise God. Don't you love him, saints? Many of you today, when you get to these dry spots in your life, it's not that you're lost. It's not that you need to get resaved. You don't need me to rebaptize you. You just need to call upon the wind. You ever get to that complacent spot in your life? You just get so busy with life. Life has that tendency about it, especially the age we're living in. Laodicea, it just has that tendency. We just have so many things to do, so many things on our mind. A day will go by, you haven't read your Bible. 2 days will go by. 3 days will go by, you haven't played a tape. A week go by, then 2 weeks go by. And before long, you no longer feel quite the same. You're still a Christian. You still love the Lord. You're married. Men and women that fuss and argue, they're just as much married as men and women who kiss and get along and be happy. As far as marriages go, as far as marriage is concerned, they're still just as much married, but they ain't near as happy, or I wouldn't figure you would be. Praise the Lord. So what does she do? She beckons. Whatever it takes. Blow on me from the north. Isn't it amazing? She left out the east and the west. She left out the winds that produced the most contrasting. But she pulled in where she was at the time, of something of she needed. Remember, it was the east wind that Elijah called for. But this is not where she's at. She don't need the east wind. The east wind is what brings the famine and the drought. But she needs the north and the south to blow upon her, to help her. This is what you say. I believe your pastor is telling me the truth. He's reading it straight from the Bible and straight from the message. But I don't see it in my life, Lord, like I want to. Blow upon me. Blow upon me, Lord. Hallelujah. Come into your garden, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's bow our heads together, if you would. Praise God. Heavenly Father, I pray through these simple illustrations today. Lord Jesus, something would have been said to be a blessing and a help to your people. I'm sure that every Christian here has found themselves at that complacent time where there was just still. There was no wind moving. There seemingly was no revival. They just go to church and pay their tithes and they live good. They're doing. It's not that they're sinning and doing horrible things in their life, but they just need a move. Give us the strength and the courage today to ask as the Shulamite. May the north wind blow. May the south wind blow. I imagine as Nicodemus came that day to you and he began to question such things, and you begin to roll back the mystery of the new birth. Maybe right at that particular time, because we know it was in the evening or nighttime when he came. We know accordingly the winds start blowing in Judea about that time. I imagine whenever you worked it up and said all the words that was necessary, and you come right up and the wind come through and you said, "The wind bloweth where it will. Where it listeth. It comes and it goes. And no one knows where it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Hallelujah. So we come from the heavens. We have a mere existence in time. We fulfill that existence. And we blow right back out the way we blew in. So are the storms of life. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray you to help each of us today. Take the garden of my life, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. May the crocus and the saffron, may the cinnamon and the calamus, may all these things be blowed upon by the wind of the Holy Ghost. May it blow up, Lord Jesus. That within itself will be a personal invitation from the wind. May it not be just so much our words alone, but may the wind blow upon the fruits of our lives. That will be your invitation to come into your garden. Praise God. We worship you, Lord Jesus.
How many wants that in your life? Would you raise your hand to the Lord today? Hey, let's sing that song. Sing it for us. Saturate my soul. She gives herself to Him. He has now accepted her. He now celebrates. He celebrates the joy of His possession. Praise God. She is His. Let's sing this song together, shall we? May the Holy Spirit just be able to blow across our lives now here this morning. Amen.
Saturate my soul.
Yes, Lord.
Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul.
Sing it to Him, children. Make it a prayer as
well. Saturate my soul.
Yes, Jesus.
Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul.
Hallelujah.
Oh, saturate my soul.
Saturate me, Jesus.
Let the river flow.
Hallelujah.
Let the north wind blow.
Let it blow.
Let the river flow.
Let it flow, let it flow.
Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Away, north wind.
Yes, Lord.
Come, O south.
What?
Pour upon
my garden
that the spices may flow out.
Hallelujah.
Let the river
flow. Oh, can't we just raise your hands in the presence of the King?
Let the north wind blow.
Let's just worship Him together.
Lover of my soul.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, saturate
my soul.
Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul.
My beloved spoke.
My beloved spoke.
Amen. Listen now.
Said unto me.
Hallelujah.
Rise up,
rise
my,
up
fair
my fair
one. Come away with me. Saturate my soul.
My soul.
Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul. Rains are over and gone.
Over and gone.
The flowers appear
on the earth again.
The time of singing
of the millennium has come.
Saturate my
Hallelujah.
Soul.
Hallelujah.
Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow.
Thank you, Jesus.
My soul.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless your name, Lord.
My beloved spoke and said unto me, rise up, my fair one, come away with me, saturate my soul, let the river flow, let the north wind blow, lover of my soul.
Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Oh, my. Before we go, can we all just kind of raise our hands in the presence of the King? Close our eyes. And my, you understand what He's done here this morning? He's pulled us up into His bosom, as it were. He didn't take you from His head so you'd try to be smart like Him. He didn't take you from His feet where He would trample on you. He took you from His heart so He could pull you up close. That's what I feel like He's done here this morning. Just kind of reached and grabbed us and pulled us up close. And every predestinated seed fit right in that form that was made before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's just give Him now a little love back. We love You, Lord Jesus. We worship You. We need Your help, Father. The things You've declared, the things You've said about us, we need Your help, Lord, to be able to see it. Our humanity is so pronounced to us, sticks out to us so much. Oh, Lord Jesus, we believe, Lord, from the symbol written here in the Song of Solomon, it will work. We believe this is prophecy interpreted in a man and woman's life. She finally arrived to that spot that she could call for the winds to come. She had now received it. The book of her life had come open. She's now calling for the wind to come, the Holy Spirit, and breathe the breath of life into those attributes which He has so firmly declared are in her life. Let it flow out. Praise God. We worship You, Lord Jesus. We worship You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't you love Him today, saints? With all your heart. With all your heart. Hallelujah. I give myself away. Can we sing it before we go? I give myself away so You can use me. I give myself away. I do, Lord. I give myself away. So You can use me. Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams,
sing it to Him.
All
my garden plans,
your prayer today. I know you've been praying for me about my decision to Russia, my trip to Russia. Yesterday I got up convinced in my heart. You see, that's what you get whenever all truth is not fully submitted. You just make a statement and then you leave people hanging. Then people go out and say, is he going or is he not going? Is he going or is he not going? Don't you see why we needed a prophet? A prophet came to finish the statement. So after much prayer and consideration and thought, I have decided that I... Now you see, there's a few people here in this building that know my decision. Carol does. Brother Darrell does. My brother Harry. My daughters, they're privy. I shared the secret with them. Some of y'all's fixing to stone me right now. I've decided not to go.
cut this part off of the video because the Russians, the Lithuanians, the Polish, and all those that was coming will not like that hand clap. I don't want to leave Carol, and to be honest with you, I don't feel like going myself. In the last month, it's been a real stressful time. Had a really long flight going into there. I was going to have to preach seven times. Brother Jason was going to preach seven times, so I'd be attending 14 services in about 4 days, 5 days. Leaving back out on Monday morning. Had to be at the airport about 3:30 in the morning. So I just honestly didn't feel like that I was up to making the trip. I say that with sadness in my heart because I wanted to go so much to the meetings there. To the Russian bride, Lithuanian bride, Polish bride, all those all over Europe that was going to come, I say to you, I'm sorry. Maybe the Lord willing next time. I just thought you'd want to know the rest of the story. Aren't you glad now you know the rest of the story? Amen. Praise the Lord. So actually what I've made up my mind to do since I ain't going there is I'm going to take an extended vacation. Wow. Now that went over great, didn't it? Not one hand clap, even from Carol. I mean, it's understandable. She's got one broke. God bless you. Love you so much in the Lord. I am working on a long vacation. It's really long, actually. I'm fixing to retire in a gated community. All of you all are invited. It's going to be the most bizarre retired community you've ever seen. In most retired communities, it's people like this, you know. The women with the blue hair and pink hair and all that sort of thing. Some of them got no hair. But in this retirement community, everybody will be from 18 to 20 years old. Nobody will be sick. There'll be no hospitals, no ERs. Oh, I wish we could leave this morning. Praise God. God bless you, saints. I love you so much. Pray for the meetings there. Brother Jason Watkins, I told him yesterday I wasn't going to go. He said, this is major. You owe me at least a kidney or something. I had in mind a kidney stone, but he wasn't quite in agreement with that. So we want to pray for our brother that the Lord will just be with him. I'm not sure what arrangement that they're going to make, but God knows, isn't he? You know, these things take us by surprise, but it didn't surprise the Lord. God bless you. I love you. Love one another. Love the Lord with all your heart. Amen. Brother Darrell, would you come and dismiss us, buddy? Brother Darrell was supposed to be out in Colorado this weekend and been fighting with the shingles and really struggling his body with it. So I know you desire your prayers for him. God will just be with him. But I hate that he wasn't able to go, but I was sort of glad he was able to here be with us this weekend too.
Christian, ain't it? To know where we come from and certainly knowing where we're going. Amen. What a retirement community that'll be. My goodness. Let's just bow our heads. It's been good to be in the house of God today. Amen. Lord Jesus, as we just bow in your presence today, Lord, we just, from our hearts, we want to say thank you, Lord. I'm one of those people Brother Donnie spoke about, Lord. I'm not a smart person. I don't know fancy words, Lord. I don't know how to put them together. But, Lord, look into my heart today and see, Lord, the gratefulness that I have that you would reveal these secrets, Lord, that was in your mind to this generation, Lord, that we may understand not only who you are, but that we can see who we are, Lord. To see that we was put on the earth more than just to be a church member and to go to service two or three times a week, but to be the vindication of the word, Lord. To be that word made flesh in this hour, Lord. To be that missing piece, Lord, that's brought back to the side of the master. How we thank you, Lord, for that today. And go with you people, Lord, those that are visiting Lord, has to travel distance today. Be with them, Lord. Protect them on the highway, dear God. Lord, we ask for those that are sick and afflicted among us, Lord. May you just visit them sometime this week. Touch their bodies, Lord, that there'd be a great testimony Wednesday night or next weekend of how you just passed through, Lord, and touched them. It's so like you to do those things, God. We just commit this congregation, Lord, and the service into your hands for your glory. Bless Brother Donnie, God. We thank you so much for our pastor, Lord. Renew his strength, God. Bless Sister Carol, Lord. Just touch her body. May she heal quickly, dear God. Lord, we just commit all these things into your hands, Lord. God, I remember one time when my girls was little and one of their toys that tore up, they brought it to me because they thought I could fix it, Lord. Father, that's the way we come to you today with just a childlike faith, knowing, Lord, that whatever we face, whatever wind it would blow, Lord, we have a daddy that's able to fix it, God. We just look to you today, Lord, and just commit it all into your hands. Lord, we don't have to try to figure it out, Lord. We don't have to go to some website and try to understand it. We just want to love you, Lord. We just want to lift up our hearts to you and love you and adore you and worship you, for you're worthy of all praise. And we lift our hearts to you today. Go with your people now, we pray, Father. And may we be a people, Lord, that's willing just to surrender all to you. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed this morning in the fear of the Lord. Do you love him? Amen. Amen. Let's just sing it again, Brother Harry. Give myself away. Amen. Boy, I feel so good. Amen.
Give myself away.
Thank you, Lord.
I give myself away.